Thank you, and greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Today you can look around and you know that there's something a little bit different, and I hope that you will not be too harsh on my approach. We've had Christmas programs, we've had Easter programs. Today I would like to have a Thanksgiving program. I will be reading scriptures, but I will ask you to participate in song and in praise and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. I would like to begin first by thanking some individuals who have willingly volunteered, Manon and Kay for the music, and Bonnie and Nathan for a little surprise later on. So I do thank each one of you guys. But I also want to thank you for being here to participate and to raise your voice in song. But most especially, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for just life, the beauty that surrounds us. Today we have the sunshine, but we always have the sun. And it's such a wonderful thing. I don't know why it takes special events for us to stop and consider what God has given us. But today, I want all of us to stop and consider. I would like to begin my sermon with a scripture out of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, 16 through 18. Paul is one who has been given to many words, and he can go on for 200 words without a break and no period and no breath. But in this, he was very, very concise, and I like that. He says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Three things: rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Those were commands. Rejoice. There are things that we have to be concerned about and worries and frustrations in life. But when we consider what God has given us, a chance to live in a far better, a much more glorious life, our little troubles, our worries are minuscule. And so we need to rejoice. Once we understand Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, we have no cause to mourn, no cause to have concerns and to bemoan our lot in life. We only have room for rejoicing. And so today, I want us to rejoice. I want us to lift our voices enthusiastically. And so I'm going to ask us to sing the first song, number 53, Give Thanks. This is a children's song, and I would like for you to sing it with meaning. I want you to sing it like little children, with enthusiasm, with spunk, with, well, if you insist, we can even sing it out of tune. But let's sing it with our heart, because the words are what is important. And that is what God hears. So will we please sing number 53. Thank you. David had the privilege of introducing a new era into this world. He brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David, and it fulfilled prophecies, and it set up a kingdom that he thought was going to be complete. And so when it was brought in, David praised the Lord, and he wrote a song. It's the 105th Psalm. I'm not going to read it there. I'm actually going to read it out of 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. Then on that day, David delivered up this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Before I read on, I would like to break down thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has four elements to it. The first is remembering what God has done for us. He has done incredible things for us. Everything we have, He's given us. Good and bad, difficult and easy, He's given us everything. When it's tough and it's hard, there's generally lessons that we are to receive. And so we can be thankful for that. So number one is remembering. Number two is telling other people. Sharing what we were given. The knowledge of what God has given us. Number three is to show in our lives and to share what God has given. And number four is to offer a gift back to God. We of ourselves have nothing to offer other than our life, our time, and our resources. Four things that we can do to thank God. As I read this psalm, consider David and those four elements. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye all of His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. I'm going to skip down to the 23rd verse. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord His ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name and glory in Thy praise. Praise to the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Will you sing number 220 in your red books? Amen. would like for Kay to play number 142 that's in your handout, and then we'll sing it. I need to apologize. There are some out here that do not have music. Could I get a couple of boys to go through and raise your hand if you don't have a sheet of music to sing with? I think I've got one more song, but is there anybody that would like a sheet of music? Don't be bashful. Yeah, way back in the back, there's a couple. I would like to turn to Colossians, the second chapter, and read a couple, the sixth and seventh verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We each know who Jesus Christ is, and we have received him as our Lord and Savior. And then he goes on, that we should be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The point is that we can have Jesus Christ and we can walk in faith, but we abound. We bring forth fruit. We glorify God with thanksgiving. And that is where the most important part of our life is to bring Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father glory. And so I would like for you to sing number 222 in the Red Book. Where does thanksgiving come from? It comes from an attitude, an understanding of who we are and who our Creator is. No one put it in better words, I think, than King Benjamin. And so I would like to read a little bit of his proclamation to his people as he prepared to leave this earth. And he wanted to leave them with an understanding of the God that he loved and worshiped and had lived his whole life for. It'll be in the first chapter of Mosiah. He says, "And behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another? And behold also, if I, whom ye call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and yet hath been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you, oh, how you ought to thank your heavenly King. I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls hath power to possess, to that God who hath created you, and hath kept and preserved you, and hath caused that ye should rejoice, and hath granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you, that if ye should serve him who hath created you from the beginning, and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that you may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say, if ye should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if ye would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land. And he never doth vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if ye do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. And now in the first place, he hath created you and granted unto you your lives, for which ye are indebted unto him. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he hath commanded you, for which, if ye do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he hath paid you. And ye are still indebted unto him, and are and will be forever and ever. Therefore, of what have ye to boast?" Will you sing number 405 in your red books?
Thank you.
In my study, there was one little nugget of truth that I discovered, that I had overlooked, and it's found in Romans, the first chapter. I will begin with the 18th verse. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," and another interpretation would be, "is manifest to them, for God hath shown it unto them." In our day and age, there is this big debate over whether there is a God. Paul is saying that God has revealed to every one of us, good and bad, righteous and wicked, He has revealed His existence. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal God, power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We can look around us and we see the immense capacity of our God, the all-powerful ability to take and create a universe so incredibly large that to us it's infinite. And yet He is also able to take and create something so incredibly small and complicated as DNA. There is nothing other than our God that can do that. And so it is available to everyone to know that there is a power out there, a God that is incredibly powerful, but also incredibly concerned about you, because He created you and has given you everything. But now the nugget. He's talking about those who have rejected that information, this incredible universe that shouts of a God. Those wicked have rejected, and they rejected it because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish hearts, was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So there is great value in being thankful. If you start becoming proud, consider who you are and consider who God is. And get on your knees and thank your Heavenly Father that He has given you everything. There is nothing that He has withheld from you that is not beneficial to your soul. So we need to thank Him. If you will now, turn in your handout to number 222. And I'll ask Kate to play that through.
Thank you.
In most cases, it's very easy to find something to be thankful for and to fall down on our knees and praise God. But there are times in life that it's not easy. When clouds come over us, when this path is steep and rugged, when it's difficult to even see ourselves, let alone see God in our life, it's difficult to give thanks. And yet that is when we need to do it the most. I'm thoughtful of Job. We all know his story. He had so much given to him, a very wealthy man. And yet in one day, God took it all, one thing at a time, repeatedly, until he had nothing. In the first chapter of Job, 20th verse, when he got the news and that everything that he valued in life had been snuffed away from him, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. He mourned. It hurt. It was hard. But Job worshiped. He fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. If you will, now give your attention to him.
School was terrible today.
Why?
Well, there were peas in the soup at lunch, and the teacher gave us tons of homework. Even the basketball was flat at recess.
You had a pretty rough day.
And tonight, it's my turn to help with the dishes.
Oh, that won't take long. Brady, you haven't noticed my new glasses yet?
Oh, I noticed, but I think glasses look dumb.
Well, I think they make me look sophisticated, and I think they're wonderful.
Well, how come you're always happy about everything?
Oh, I just try to be thankful for everything.
But everything always goes wrong for me. There's nothing to be thankful for.
Well, there's always something to be thankful for. You just have to look for it.
How about homework?
Well, it helps us learn more.
Washing dishes?
Well, I'm thankful we have food to put on the plates. That is just what makes them need washing. And that mother cooks for us. And for the water to wash the dishes.
Okay, I get it.
Well, it's all in the way you see things. You can complain or you can be thankful.
Well, how can I be thankful when the ball is flat today?
Well, you fixed it with the little pump, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, then, be thankful you didn't have to use your mouth.
Oh, Sally.
Well, anyway, Brady, I do think you need a new pair of glasses, too.
But my eyes are perfect.
Well, I think the peas should go on the inside in your heart.
Glasses on my heart? That's crazy.
Well, all you ever see are things to complain about. I wish you had a pair of glasses that would make you see things to be thankful for.
Well, I guess I could try to see things like you do.
Yeah, it would be like having a special pair of glasses and things would look better to you.
You know, Sally, your new glasses don't really look dumb. I think I actually like you in those glasses.
And I'm going to like you in your new glasses, too.
Thank you. Although humorous, it carries a point. We are incredibly blessed because there is a God in heaven who cares and takes care of our needs. And though times can be tough, there's always that which we can be thankful for. It's an attitude. If we are going to spread the gospel, if we are going to share this wonderful gift that God has given us, we can't do it complaining. We can't do it concentrating on the difficulties that are going to come in the latter day. That is not our concentration point. We need to know about that. But we need to concentrate on the gift. Thanksgiving is a celebration of two things. It's a celebration of the giver, and it's a celebration of the gift. And we need to have that ever in our mind, that God has given us a Savior, a plan of redemption, and we have nothing but joy and an opportunity to rejoice in what He has given us. I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th verse, or 15th chapter, the 55th verse to the end of the chapter. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our victory is in Jesus Christ, and victory is what we want, and victory God has given us. And so we need to rejoice and share and lift up our voice and not be complaining, not looking around at things to complain about, but things to give thanks for. I would like for you to turn to the number 417 in our red books. It is a prayer, as all of these songs have been, a prayer, as long as they come from our heart.
Thank you.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you. May God bless you.